So my message today is godly vision. And specifically what I want us to look at is, why do we need godly vision? Maybe full stop, why do we need vision for our lives, full stop? I think sometimes we may have sort of been in circles where people don't plan too far ahead, people don't raise their head up too far above the wall because people are more than happy to cut the top of the flower head off, right? So you know, so I'm not going to tell people about the vision for my life because they might be, oh, no, you could never do that. Why do we need godly vision for our lives? It's really important. Now, what's the Bible's viewpoint on vision? This is Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Then the Lord said to me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. We need vision in our lives. God tells us in scriptures like this that we need vision and we need to write it down. We need to make it plain that when we read it, we can run with his vision. God himself says this to Habakkuk. Write the vision, make it easier to read so that the vision can be carried by those who need to outwork it. That's us, amen. We're called to outwork God's vision in our lives. See, we, friends, we are the people. We're the people who are ready to read it. We're the people who are ready to take it into our heart. We're the people who are ready to outwork it. Now, what I love in this passage of scripture is it starts off with, the Lord answered me. God's more than happy to speak to us. God's more than happy to download vision into our hearts. But have you asked him the question first? God, what is it that you want to speak to me? Because this passage of scripture says that Habakkuk had petitioned the Lord. He's like, God, speak to me. What do I need to share with the people? And the Lord answered him and gave him his heart. You know, where does God speak to us with ease from? Can anyone tell me where God speaks to us with ease from? Someone lifted up their iPhone. Oh, the word that's on your iPhone. Yeah, the word of God speaks to us with ease. We open up the scriptures and it's his living, breathing word. And as we read it, he speaks to us clearly. It's not that complicated. We don't need to make it more complicated. We just open up his word and he wants to speak to us through his word. The Bible is the living, breathing word of God. And in an age where people are happy to leave bits out, in an age where people are happy to be selective about the interpretation so that sin can thrive, we declare it's God who's speaking to us and these are his words. And I say this, listen to this. You might even want to write it down. From his mouth to our hearts and from our hearts to our daily living. May we read the word and may it take hold of us and may we put it into action. So why do we need vision? There's many reasons that we need vision. But more specifically, we need godly vision. We need godly vision. Godly vision helps us orientate towards his purpose, to his direction. Godly vision opens up his potential in our lives. Godly vision informs us of who we're called to be and who we're called to grow into. Godly vision releases God's word into our lives. You know, everyone has a vision for their lives. Everyone. Every single person in this room right now, every single person on planet Earth has a vision for their lives. And some people might say, I have no vision for lives. They do. They just don't have one for their lives. That's their vision. Their vision is, I'm nothing. I can't achieve anything. I can't do anything. There's no joy. There's no guidance. There's no hope. There's no plan and purposes that they're orientating towards. They're orientating towards nothing. That's the vision for their lives. But dear friends, that is not our story. That's not your story. God has plans. God had purposes that he's called you to achieve here on planet Earth. Now, we're called to get the vision and we're called to run with it. Amen. That's God's plan and purposes for our lives. There are many places that we can get our vision. We might get our vision from friends. We might get our vision from family, media, socials. Some people may get it from the WWE. You ever watch the WWE? It's like John 3:16. You name it. You name it. You name it. whatever we focus on will probably start to influence the vision that we have for our lives. Whatever we're looking at will influence the vision we have for our lives. And we can take on somebody else's picture for living, meaning we can copy others, and that becomes our vision. Pop culture is a classic for this. Pop culture tells us that being an individual by wearing these clothes or cutting our hair a certain way or doing this new practice will make you an individual. The catch is that everybody's doing it. It's the catch. That's how radical individualism works. It's an image of the culture. Pop culture preys on insecurities, tells us that we need to re-identify as the image of culture, that we, in order to feel better or feel stronger or be more accepted, we need to follow this image and re-identify. In actuality, in the pursuit of being a radical individual, it strips us of God's identity for our lives. And it creates within us an image of the world rather than the image of God that he has for us. See, the picture that we have for our lives, the image that we have for our lives, the vision that we have for our lives can release us into God's perfect will, blessing, and inheritance. If anyone believes it, put your hand up this morning. Come on. Come on. See, God's word is clear for our lives. This is what it says in Proverbs 29:18. Some of you will be familiar with this. Without prophetic vision, people run wild. But blessed are those who follow God's teachings. Without vision, people run wild. Some versions say without vision, people perish. The people perish. Simply, when we activate God's teachings, when the vision for our lives is God's truth, we are blessed. When we pursue the ways of God, our lives are blessed. When we orientate ourselves towards his truth, we are blessed. Without vision, people perish. But with prophetic vision, people flourish and thrive. Godly vision, can I encourage you? Godly vision will always bring you back to his ways. Always. Godly vision won't take you off track, won't take you off path, won't connect you with things that aren't holy. No, it will always orientate you towards his ways. If you're trying to weigh up whether or not you're doing the right thing with your life, is it bringing you back towards his ways? Let that be your encouragement today. So am I on the right path? Is it bringing you to his ways? Or is it taking you away from his ways? See, when vision is God's, when it's clear, when it's plain, when it's activated, people thrive. We've got some encouragement around that as we head towards the end of the message. See, in the natural, vision allows us to see what we're aiming for. Open up our eyes. Whatever we focus on, whatever we're aiming for, we'll make our way towards in the natural. Anyone agree with that?
Yeah.
But godly vision allows us to see what he is calling us to aim toward. So we can orientate ourselves towards something and say, oh, I like that. But what's God's vision for your life? What does he want you to aim towards? Has anyone ever used a compass before? Not one of the ones with the pen and the needle, like an actual, like, that other compass. Don't you love the English language, yeah? The other compass. You know, when I was teaching orienteering and trail hiking in my career, a compass was not only necessary, like it was imperative. Like without a compass, you are in dire trouble. Like you're the person that gets out your phone and calls like 911. And it's like, come and save me. I don't know where I am. You don't want to be that person, particularly if you're leading the group. Amen. Right. So I don't want to be that guy. See, without a compass, you're never going to find your next point, or even worse, your campsite, the very place that you're aiming to reside for the night. Let me tell you, there is an art form to using a compass. Orientate to north, align it with the map, not having any interference from other magnets or metal. Anyone ever been there? It's like, I feel like I'm walking the wrong way. It's like, oh, that's all right. See, there is an art form. See, it's the same with vision. There is an art form to vision. And it's about humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to God's best for our lives. That there's an art form of not allowing any other vision or any other philosophies or any other ideologies to take us away from the alignment and the orientation and the vision that God has for our lives. Can't allow anything to come close to us and allow us to go off the true north that God's called us to. You know, God has vision for your life. It's like, does he, Pastor? I don't feel it. I don't see it. God has vision for your life. Here's some simple scriptures to open you up to the idea that God has vision for your life. We can go through every story in the Bible, and it equates to God puts vision in front of people and they walk their way towards it. But here's the truth that God has vision for your life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. If you've ever been in youth ministry, you've heard this 8 million times and counting. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has vision for your life. If you're looking for a baseline vision, orientate yourself towards this. Orientate yourself towards his plans and his purposes for your life. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has vision and plans for your life. Plans that he's called you to outwork. God has vision for your life. God has plans for your life. God has purposes for your life. If you're feeling aimless, can I encourage you? Associate yourselves with these scriptures. This is the truth of God for all of our lives. Amen. Now, in the Bible, we see these pictures. We talk about God has vision and plans for people. Moses, the exodus of God's people out of Egypt. Abraham, being the father of many nations. Gideon, leading a small group of people with faith for victory. Jesus, making a way for all of us to be restored and saved back to the Father. Amen. His heart was that all would be saved. Jesus has a vision for your life. Jesus has a vision for your life. That all would be saved, that all would be discipled in his ways, that all would join him in the commission that's been set before us by him. God has a vision. Jesus has a vision for all of our lives. There are countless moments in the Bible, and we're going to start this morning by going through all of them. No, we're not. No, we're not. There are countless moments where God gave individuals and people groups a picture of what he was calling them to. He gave them a promise, a vision that they could orientate towards. You know, these plans and promises weren't fulfilled when they received the vision. The plans and promises came to pass during the journey, and sometimes even after the person who got the vision, the next generation got the fulfillment. But they orientated with the truth towards what God had called them to do, and they made way for the next generation to step into the plans and the promises. This morning, I want to take just a moment to look at Abraham for just a moment. Not his whole story, just part of his story. It says this in Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, this is before his name was changed by God, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. What I love about this passage of scripture, just God's like, do this and I'm going to do this. This is the vision and the plan and the promise that I have for you. Did he need to like step out? Or he had to really step out? He had to step away from his family, everything that he'd known. He had to go to a place where he didn't know anyone. Can I encourage you? God gives us pictures and visions for us to attach our faith to that we have to step out in it. Aren't you glad that you're part of a church that's been doing that? For many years, 40, how many years now? 40, 42 years this year. Aren't you glad you're part of a church that's been doing that for generation after generation and will continue to pass it down to the next generation? See, God gives Abraham a vision, gives him a picture. Now, for anyone who knows Abraham's story, it's not that simple. His story is not that simple. He was around 75 years of age at this time. He still doesn't have any sons or daughters. In verse 4, it goes on to say that Abram obeys God And along the way, God makes more promises. Verse 7, Abram builds an altar to God in thanksgiving for what he'd done in his life up until that point. Verse 8, Abram builds an altar to God. And from verse 10, anyone's familiar with this passage? Abram obeys God but makes some terrible choices and terrible decisions in the things that decisions he makes for him and his wife. But God is gracious to him, even in the midst of making a mistake, because he's still orientating towards the vision. He just makes some bad choices, but he's still orientating towards the vision. And in chapter 13, God gives him more pictures of the future that he has for him and his offspring. And again, Abraham builds an altar to the Lord. Again. Why have I highlighted this? You know, this year, God will speak to you. If you incline your ear and ask him, it's like, God, speak to me. He will speak to you. And as you step into the change, as you step out in faith, he'll give you a vision. He'll give you a picture of your future. He'll call you to make good decisions. It doesn't mean that we always will, but we'll orientate ourselves back with repentant hearts and say, God, I'm for you. I messed up a little bit, just like other people have in the Bible too. And you'll keep moving forward. You'll action God's call and God's vision for your life and for the kingdom. You'll build more altars, just like Abraham built altars of thanksgiving to God for what he'd done in his life. You'll grow just like Abraham did into the promises and the plans that God has for you. I want to encourage that God gives vision to us to give us opportunity to grow as individuals. He gives vision to us so that we can grow into what he's called us to be and do. You know, in support of what I'm talking about this morning, I want us to look at what God did for us last year. So haven't we already done this? Didn't Renu talk about this? Yeah, this is a little bit different. This is in support of the vision and how powerful vision is in your life. This is what happens when a group of God's people grasp hold of God's vision for the season that he determines. You know, last year, the vision statement over our church was by faith. That was the vision, that we would see the unseen come to pass. That we would see the unseen in my life, in my church, in my world. And here are some examples of what happens when people lock into what God has for their lives, for their church, for their world. You know, last year on Vision Sunday, each of you received one of these cards. There's a couple there. I feel like people like filled out four. There's like some big by faith moments. And on these cards, you can probably see them up on the screen. We got the cards on the screen, maybe. Yep, awesome. And we filled out these cards, and in our hearts, we're like, God, if this is the vision you've put before us, that we would see the unseen, and by faith, we're stepping into this year. Hebrews 11, verse 1, we're stepping into this year, and God, that you would reveal the unseen and in the things that we've written down here. You remember, these were by faith declarations. They weren't givens. It wasn't like, Lord Jesus, can I have enough money to buy some food on the way home from church, but you've already got the money in your bank account. It's not really. These were by faith statements that were like, I'm stepping out in big faith on this. And here's some of the prayers that were prayed by faith and written on these cards. Here's some of them. For my son to come back to church, for breakthrough in finances, for my marriage to be healed, for permanent residency, opportunity in my career, to get another dog, amen. Family reconciliation. Did you write that one down? It wasn't. For increase in finances for a house deposit, to graduate year 12, to become a great artist, for my mum to be saved, for my family to be saved, for the church to grow, for gifts to move, permanent residency, to see my adult kids back in church, for generational breakthrough, for provision for a newer car, for youth events to grow. This is just some of the by faith prayers that were put before God last year. And at the end of 2025, we took a moment in our last service of the year to thank God for the prayers that were answered by faith. Here's some of them written here. some of the things that people have written down. By faith, I believe for this, and this is what God did in my life. Here's some of the ones that you as individuals have written down. In 2025, I thank God for the financial stability and the ability to buy my house, for freedom from addiction and temptation, my family and health, for sustaining me through a very difficult year, being able to transition to part-time work from full-time work. Oh, amen. I'm testifying to that one with you. What a gift. For resilience, a full-time job and we bought a house. New employment, my grandchild's going to youth group. My son came back to Jesus. Falling pregnant with my third. That wasn't me, no, that was somebody else, by the way. My family came to Christ. Career opportunities. Healing from fear and anxiety. Salvation to family members. Healing from scoliosis. Building a company. My baptism. God's grace when my world was closing in. Provision. And last but not least, fishing, because fishing is the best. Got to celebrate all the moments. See, what we witnessed last year was a group of people who got vision in their heart and who activated it. And when people have prophetic vision, they thrive and they prosper and they're blessed. See, what we witnessed last year was people choosing to put God's vision and word into action. You chose faith and you're still choosing faith. There are things written here that still haven't been answered yet, but by faith, God will bring it to pass. Can I encourage you? This isn't a once a year thing. This was God bring it into our hearts to reside with us always, that we would be a church that by faith calls for the promises of God. Amen. See, God continually puts fresh vision and plans in front of us. He calls us. Can I encourage you? We noted in that Genesis scriptures, Genesis 12 with Abraham, that multiple times he built altars to give thanks and praise to God. If we look at Romans 12 verse 1, God calls our lives to be a living sacrifice. Amen. But what we're looking at here, these are altars. You build an altar where God came and intervened. And this is an altar of praise, an altar of worship, an altar of saying, hey, world, look what God did in my life. Look what God did in my family. Look what God did in my church. He calls us to build altars on the other side of the promise. He calls us to build altars in the middle of the promise. These are testimonies. These are altars of his fulfilled promises. And I want to ask you this question today. What vision do you have for your life? Have you ever put the thought to, well, what's the vision that God's got for my life? What godly vision do you have for your life? As we come into next week, we're going to speak vision over this next 12 months, what God's calling us to as a church. And it's going to be a powerful moment. God's been speaking to me for months. I want to encourage you. This isn't, I just like went out to the office and like hopped onto ChatGPT and said, what's a good vision? It's like God, speak to me, speak to us. What do you want us to step into this year? What's the vision that you have for us as a church and as for individuals and for our community and the world that we live in? What's the vision that you want us to grow in? But I want to encourage you. What's the vision that you have for your life? I know that many of you are living it out. You are just orientated towards everything that God's got for you. You front up every day to your work and it's like, this isn't a job. This is my calling. God has put me here for such a time as this. But if that's not where you're at the moment, can I encourage you? What vision do you need for your daily tasks? What vision do you need for the workplace that God's called you to? What vision do you need? Because when you catch a glimpse of it, you front up differently. You front up very differently. It's not like, I checked in 2 minutes late. No, you're like, I'm going to work today because God's mandated me. I've joined this community group because God's mandated me. I reach out to the community because God mandated me. I reach out to my neighbors because God's mandated me. What vision has God got for you? Just as we come towards the end this morning, we're going to take just a moment. Maybe you're already like, my vision is I'm orientated. I'm on the compass. I'm on true north. But can I ask all of us to take a moment, whether you're all the way in or whether this is just new to you, can we take a moment just to say, God, is there anything fresh that you want to speak to my heart this morning? Is there anything fresh that you want to remind me of, the promises, the calling, the vision that you have for my life? Why don't we close our eyes for just a moment? Holy Spirit. Lord God, we orientate ourselves towards you this morning, Jesus. And with hearts open, our prayer is from your lips to our heart this morning. Speak vision, speak plans, remind us, reignite the fire in our hearts, Holy Spirit, that we get up every morning with purpose for the plans, purpose for the vision that you have for us, Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray for people this morning, seasons of radical boldness, radical new beginnings, Holy Spirit. That the godly desires of your youth would be reignited. The godly desires for your family reignited. The godly desires for your marriage reignited. The godly desires for your workplace reignited. Fresh vision this morning, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Write it on our hearts, Jesus. Write it on the tablet of our heart, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray boldness to engage the vision. Audacious boldness, Holy Spirit. Just with your eyes closed still this morning, you know, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't met Jesus personally, if you don't know God as your Father, you know, God had a plan. He had a vision for your life, for every single person on earth. That he would send his son. His son would walk amongst us without blame, without sin. And then he would go to the cross as the eternal lamb, the sacrifice for all the sin of the world, to do what none of us could do in our own selves. Only God could do this for us through Jesus. And Jesus would rise again on the third day. Victorious. Sin didn't take him out. He took it on. He was victorious. Why? So that we could be forgiven of all of our sin, so that we could be restored to God the Father, so that we could grow as disciples of Jesus, so that we could join Jesus in the great commission set before us. Whether you've heard this for the first time, you've heard it before, God loves you. God loves you. That's why he sent his son, because he loves you. He loves all humanity. He loves his creation. And if you don't know him personally, but you want to know him personally, you want to be forgiven of your sin, you want to be made whole, we sang a song this morning about a son that returns to the father. The prodigals come home. The prodigal son, prodigal daughters coming home to their father, restored back to the place where they're meant to be. This is for you today. And what we're going to do in just a moment is I'm going to ask you if that's you. So yeah, I need that relationship with God. I need to be made whole. And it's only through Jesus. I've tried everything. It's only through Jesus that I'm going to get the wholeness that I'm looking for. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Once you've put up your hand, you can put it back down. We're going to pray a prayer after that of coming to know Jesus, being forgiven, being set free, made whole, restored. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God. If that's you, on the count of three, say, yeah, I want it. One, two, three. Put your hand up if that's you. Awesome, awesome. Anyone else say, yeah, yes, awesome. Amazing. You can put your hand down once you put it up. Anyone else say, yeah, I want it. I want salvation. I want forgiveness of sin. I want salvation. I want wholeness. I want purpose. I want to be empowered by Jesus. I want to be known as a son and daughter of the Most High God. I want to grow in everything that He's got for my life. I want His vision for my life. Anyone else this morning? Holy Spirit, if you're online, don't miss this moment. If you're watching a later time, don't miss this moment. This is for you. Holy Spirit. You know, the scriptures say in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not a you may be, you will be saved. And so this morning, with this in mind, for those who raised their hand, for those who didn't raise their hand, God's not worried about that. He's worried about, are you prepared to follow me? Are you prepared to lay it all down and follow me? Are you prepared to lay your life down and take up the cross and follow Jesus? And we're going to pray a prayer in a moment. If you're online, if you're in the room, we're going to pray this prayer with faith in our hearts, with boldness and confidence that God loves us. And all of heaven's going to celebrate. Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Pray it after me. Dear God, nice and loud. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your Son, that he went to the cross, went to the grave, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sin and restoration back to God. From this moment on, I choose to follow God. I repent of my sin and I step into the promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.